A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. You have also forgotten the exhortation addressed to you as children. My son, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He scourges every son he acknowledges. Endure your trials as discipline. God treats you as his sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? At the time, all discipline seems a cause not for joy, but for pain. Yet later, it brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. So strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees. Make straight paths for your feet, that what is lame may not be dislocated, but healed. Strive for peace with everyone, and for that holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one be deprived of the grace of God, that no bitter root spring up and cause trouble, through which many may become defiled. Verbum Domini. The Lord's kindness is everlasting to those who fear him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my being bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The Lord. But the kindness of the Lord is from eternity to eternity toward those who fear him, and his justice towards children's children among those who keep his covenant. The Lord's kindness is from eternity to those who
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Marcum.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands?" Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph, and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house. So he was not able to perform any mighty deeds there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Verbum Domini. The Lord calls many of us, or perhaps all of us, to a deeper relationship with Him. And this often means that He wants more prayer from us, or is calling us to serve Him, give more of our time in the church, perhaps get involved in a parish organization or prayer group. And when we do these things, we are often met with opposition or persecution and even outright rejection. And sometimes the hardest persecutions come from those who are closest to us. And this is what Jesus is experiencing in the gospel today. He returns to Nazareth. He is now in the beginning of his public life of ministry, and he comes proclaiming the kingdom of God, doing great works, miracles, acts of mercy. And the people are infuriated. See, but Jesus' example, this scene here in the gospel, can be very strengthening to us who may be suffering the same things. At the same time, today we are celebrating the memorial of St. Agatha, a martyr, a young woman, innocent, who gives her life for the love of God. And her example, too, can inspire us to greater holiness and love of the Lord. So here is Jesus, now has stepped into his hometown, and here he's preaching, and there they start to persecute him. So where did he get this kind of wisdom? Look what's happening. He's doing mighty deeds at his hands. And they don't understand this. You see, the people of Nazareth had known Jesus as a carpenter or a craftsman. Now, Jesus, of course, he would have been a man of great virtue and holiness. And as we the last time we hear of Jesus in the Gospels before he goes into his hidden life, before his baptism, we hear of him in the temple, teaching people, doing the Father's work. And so Jesus already had, he's had this connection with God. His gaze is already on the Father. But yet in his hidden life, it is not his time to go out and start proclaiming the kingdom. So it is a very quiet life. And in this, as the book of Hebrews speaks to us, is that Jesus is fully embracing human life. He's working. He's experiencing the culture. And he's experiencing everything we experience except for sin. And this is why our humanity can be sanctified by the example of Jesus Christ, who can live and work in this land in holiness and goodness and for the common good of people. And so here is Jesus, just a very simple craftsman. You know, there in Nazareth, and that's how they know him. And right now they're rejecting him. They want him to be where he was. They don't really want him to see him blossom and shine. And so they just outright reject him. And we remember that just this town of Nazareth was not like a major metropolitan city. No, it was a very, very simple, very humble dwellings there. You could remember in the Gospels is that, you know, when people hear that Jesus is from Nazareth, they say, what good can come from Nazareth? So even the people themselves, this is, I mean, he's coming from Nazareth. Who does he think he is? And so there he is, rejected. And that hurts. You know, that it hurts when your own people, the people you know, the place where you're from, and now they don't like you. Today, also, we are in St. Agatha. Now, St. Agatha, she was from a town in Sicily. There was a place called Palermo and Catania, and she was in between. She was from this place in between. She was born somewhere around the year 235. You know, as a very young girl, she was devout and loved the Lord very much, committed her life to prayer, and even at this young age, decided to become a consecrated virgin. So it was around the year 250 that she consecrated herself. You know, at the time they received a red veil to be identified as a consecrated virgin. She had approval from her bishop. But it was around the same time when the emperor began a very harsh persecution on the Christians. And then somebody who was called the proconsul, Quintinian, he was infatuated by Agatha. You know, he saw her physical beauty, and he wanted her for himself. But Agatha was committed to the Lord and already consecrated herself. So he decided to arrest her and apprehend her. Then he took her to sort of a school of love to try to persuade her not to be a virgin. And then she was not convinced. And so this, of course, upset Quintinian. And so he had her arrested once again and put in jail. They had this conversation with one another, and he questioned her and says, why are you dressing like a servant, like a slave? You know, she says, I'm not a servant, I'm not a slave, I'm free. I belong to God, and this is the greatest of freedom, in the being in the service of the Lord. And she told him, she says, you are in slavery to sin, subject to wood and stones. And this angered him even further, that he had her breasts cut off. She was thrown in jail. That right after that, St. Peter miraculously appeared to her, and she was cured. Then, finding this out, Quintinian once again said, well, now we are going to put you on the rack and set you on hot coals. And then so she was tortured with hot coals. And while that was happening, there was this great earthquake, shook the land. And so people, they were a little frightened, and they went to Quintinian, says, you got to stop persecuting her. So they did. And then she cried out to the Lord, surrendering herself, thanking him that he had given her the strength to preserve her from the contamination of the world, thanking that he had called her to his own service. And now she's giving up her spirit to him. And so the Lord took her. And there she goes, straight to heaven, a martyr, virgin and martyr, Agatha. And so this story as well gives us some inspiration. Here is a young lady, you know, here is one who could have had everything. If she had married this proconsul guy, you know, she would have had riches, you know, about houses and jewels and money. But she loves the Lord. And we remember the words of Jesus, who he says, everyone who gives up houses and leaves mothers or fathers and lands, will he not receive 100 more in this life and in the life to come? And that is very true. See, these are the promises of God. So yeah, we may have to go forth in faith serving the Lord, and people may be upset at this. They may not like us. We may have to lose friends. But then God will give us new friends. And then what is most important here is the friendship of God, the intimacy of knowing the mysteries of the life of Jesus Christ, of knowing him more personally, and being able to identify with his life, death, and resurrection. This is something we experience as we go deeper into the love of the Lord, as we love him more. This is what he pours out to us. So we could have so much strength in our persecution. As we look at the example of Jesus. And this is how we become holier. This is like Saint Agatha herself, you know, thinking, gazing upon Jesus and during her own torture. You think about the martyrs, the saints, Saint Stephen, you know, all of them, you know, they're joyful. Because now they can suffer, they can live like Jesus Christ. And this is a great experience of his love. And so here the Lord gives to us. And here, you know, it's a heavy cross at times. But yet he is there. Yet he's carried the cross. And with him and through him, we have the victory. So be not afraid to go out and proclaim the gospel, to give yourself more to the Lord, to receive persecution, because God is going to do something great to that, and he uses all things for his glory. And again, he will give you the victory. God bless you all.